Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And, you know, how did I come up with the term entrepreneurial revolution? It was by being in the trenches with entrepreneurs, and the guest that we have today was really part of that realization that I could probably make a difference right here in Sacramento and really inspire entrepreneurship. And I've been battling to do that for the last 7 or 8 years. And Jack Crawford, who is a venture capitalist and one of the people who I respect most in this entrepreneurial ecosystem, shared his thoughts, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago. I invested into his venture capital firm. And you know what? He's inspired me to take a risk and put myself out there in this grandiose mission to ignite an entrepreneurial revolution. I don't even think I knew what the term entrepreneur was 10 years ago, but I do today, and I'm passing along what I'm learning to you. So stick around. We got Jack Crawford coming on the show today, and we're all going to learn a lot, because when this guy talks, as entrepreneurs, we listen. Stick around, my friends. And now I have the pleasure of bringing on my good friend, Jack Crawford. Jack is the founding partner at Impact Venture Capital. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great, Mark. Great to see you.
You know, it's been a while since you've been on the show. I think it was pre-COVID, if I remember right. So, okay, why don't we get a little catch-up on you, and how did COVID set you back or spring you forward?
You know, it was I had a soft heart for the people that were going through some pretty significant challenges with jobs and sort of the lockdown. I have to say, in the venture world, because it's driven by so much sort of digital exchange of documents and wires and interaction with investors and entrepreneurs, all that was happened elegantly over Zoom. So what I saw is sort of the pace of business accelerate to a degree that I was not anticipating. And I think in part it was business moving faster, but also an understanding that the innovation curve was being accelerated. You and I were briefly speaking about sort of, you know, grocery delivery to the home. Maybe the forecasts for 5 years from now are happening, you know, now. Online education, number of video calls, connecting things like electronic medical records and connecting remotely with your doctor. All those things seem to be accelerated. And I think, you know, last year's forecast probably were sort of forecasted for 5 or 6 years from now. So, yeah, it's been a crazy time. On one hand, you're sort of, you know, trying to figure out ways to be helpful to those that have gone through some massive challenges personally or professionally over the last couple of years. And on the other hand, from a business standpoint, it sort of felt like a sprint. How much can we get done in this period of time?
Interesting. Did you find, I agree, a lot, you and I are investing into tech companies and the digital economy. And so some of our portfolio companies did well throughout this time. I'm also invested into a couple of hospitality type companies, and they battled for a while, but they ended up doing okay because of perseverance and commitment. But how did you find, we're talking about efficiency. So, we all try to get in a couple of meetings a day, some people trying to do more. Were you able to find silver lining in terms of your own personal efficiency? Because I'm always looking for you, looking to you for hacks around being better in business.
I think I found that it was very easy to establish a routine at home when you're in lockdown, meaning that you could, you know, set up your kind of workout schedule in the morning and then a flurry of Zoom calls, have a lunch with the wife and kids, and then go back to sort of a flurry of Zoom calls. And I think what's happened is, without any industry conferences, without a requirement to meet in person, so much of the innovation economy, the investors, the entrepreneurs, got comfortable with collaborating remotely and got, you know, sort of used to this idea that we could share information and share documents in real time in Zoom calls, but then digitally with data rooms and all those other things. So I think everybody sort of improved their digital infrastructure. And so from a business standpoint, from a personal standpoint, I found just sort of a set of new routines, and it was kind of easy to get into the flow each week. And candidly, it was easy to work 12, 14 hours a day too.
Wow.
So you had to figure out a way to sort of dial it back, because, you know,
you need a little bit of hang time, right? You can't be all, Jack can't be all work and no play. So thinking about that though, so venture capital as an asset class, it found its way outside the Silicon Valley or outside the traditional, areas where it's built. And didn't you find that because of COVID, because less face-to-face, that people got comfortable with Zoom, ended up making investments sight unseen, you know, through Zoom calls and through data rooms and so on. But they didn't have to necessarily go visit and do all the face-to-face, press the flesh. Capital got more portable.
I absolutely agree with that. I saw that both on the fund side of things, investors that were considering investments into our fund that would have required a visit to meet us in Silicon Valley or meet us in Sacramento no longer required that, and we're making commitments all through our interaction with them on Zoom. And then we made a number of investments without ever meeting with the entrepreneurs in person.
Really? Okay, yeah. So tell me, give me an example of that.
So let's see, there's a company down in Southern California called Pitch. We think it's an interesting company. There's some massive changes in the way in which humans are interacting with computers. And we think that we used to interact with computers just with keyboards, and we migrated to a keyboard and a mouse. And now more and more people are using voice. And so this particular company believes that voice technology is going to reshape the way in which people interact with computers. And they're starting with the voice in a singing voice, because if you can sort of decode a singing voice, you can decode any voice. And so that's the idea. So Pitch is in Southern California. I've never met with the entrepreneur. Of course, I've interacted with him tens of times, maybe more than, well, I don't know if 100, but tens of times for sure. During the due diligence process, we looked at the market size. We looked at the technology. We interviewed the team. We looked at the financial model, exchanging documents back and forth, looking at their data room, making customer reference calls, all of that stuff done from our homes effectively, and with the CEO and his team all working from their homes in Southern California. So yeah, I've never met the CEO. I hope to meet him.
Well, you've met him on a Zoom call, though, I assume.
In a Zoom call, yeah, sure. Yeah.
But you never met him in person.
In person. I've never met him in person. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
is that the first time you've ever done that?
We had as a requirement that we would meet entrepreneurs in a professional setting and in a personal setting to really get to know them. I mean, this is a long-term relationship. Is when we invest in them, we didn't want to just meet them in the office. So a historical requirement of our due diligence was we would meet with them in person at the office, and then we would always go have a lunch, have a beer, have, you know, do something.
See how they treat the waiter or waitress.
Just in a social setting, a casual.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they're not under the hot lights of a due diligence meeting or a board meeting, you know, how are they interacting? And is this someone that we could, you know, he or she, could we really work with them over a long period of time? Because these seed and early stage companies can take, you know, 6, 8, 10 years to get to an exit. So you're going to be in a long-term relationship with this company, right?
You gotta like the person, like the business model.
And see their level of initiative, the fire in the belly, you know, sort of how much are they really bought into what they're doing. And how are they going to interact with the people that they're managing? How are they going to interact with the board that's coming in? You know, we are not coming in as a boss. We're coming in as a partner, right? How can we be good partners? And so really understanding, you know, who your partner is and seeing them in a variety of settings is helpful.
And just making sure our audience knows. So it sounds like the company that you discussed, that you mentioned that you invested into, very early stage company, your focus at Impact is earlier stage type companies. Maybe can you give us a little bit of the thesis, and so
sure,
we can see where you fit into the ecosystem.
So our investment strategy, I mean, from a stage standpoint, is seed and early stage. From an industry sector standpoint, is artificial intelligence applied to things like security, finance, digital health. And from a geography standpoint, we'll invest across the country, but we pay special attention to what's going on in Northern California. And of course, you know, I have a soft spot for entrepreneurs that are here in Sacramento that are trying to, you know, make bold moves and take on big ideas. The core to our investment strategy is that we try and gain an information advantage from corporate investors and acquirers. And so the more that we can understand where these corporates are going to be acquiring businesses, the more that we understand where they're going to be investing, we feel like we sort of elevated our investing IQ, and we'll make smarter seed and early stage investments and arguably be a lot more helpful to these entrepreneurs that we invest in, because many times, as you know, they're not only looking for capital early on, they're looking for customers. They're looking for credibility. They're really looking to sort of scale their business. They're looking for board members. So what we try and do is leverage that network of corporates, acquirers, and investors, and bring them in as capital sources, bring them in as customers, and occasionally even Jan Geldmacher, someone in our network that will actually be the keynote at the summit that we're hosting, was an operating partner at SoftBank and now has been added to the board of directors at Konami, one of our significant portfolio companies. So it was an example. That's an example of us recruiting, leveraging the corporate network to add value to a company by adding a board member from the corporate world. So that's the big. That's when I think about investment strategy, I think about stage, industry, sector, geography, and then what's your sort of special, unique, you know, sauce? What, you know, how are you adding value beyond capital? We do it with our large corporate network.
Yeah, it's amazing. You guys have, I've been impressed with this as an LP and as a fan of Impact, and you specifically. deep relationships with corporate venture capital. And so I kind of want to like frame up venture capital as an asset class. We know that a lot of the venture capital in America comes out of the Bay Area and certain other pockets. And Sacramento really is not known for venture capital yet. But maybe we can talk about that as relates to corporate venture. Just from a geography standpoint, corporate venture is not Silicon Valley based, right? Is it more spread out everywhere?
Yeah, so Fortune 500 companies have decided that they are going to augment their research and development efforts by investing in seed and early stage companies, right? And no longer just rely on the internal R&D efforts inside the four walls of the corporation. And so they're going to do this by actively investing. And to your point, geographically, they're investing across the country. They're not necessarily Silicon Valley centric or Boston centric or New York centric. Effectively, it's companies that are relevant to their industry. And so when we look at sort of what, you know, the activity here in Sacramento, I mean, you have some interesting, you know, silicon companies with obviously Intel having, 7,000 employees here. You have a lot of digital health companies. You have a variety of companies. You have ag companies, ag tech companies. You have a variety of different types of companies. And the point is that those, if you can find as an entrepreneur, if you can find a way to make yourself relevant to these corporate venture groups, they're not going to say, oh, you have to be in Austin or you have to be in Silicon Valley, or you have to be in Boston for us to invest in you. They're going to say, hey, if you're relevant to my industry, I'm excited about making this investment. And historically, it would just be about a late stage investment in a Series C or a Series D. The big change, huge change over the last 5 years is that now these corporates are investing at the seed and Series A level. Well, that's pretty interesting because if you can now get a capital source and a customer and you can enhance the credibility of your company because this big corporate has come in and basically invested and is a customer of your company, now you can get more customers and more capital.
Yeah, huge differentiation for impact and for what you all do. Let's talk about the Sacramento region entrepreneur, the startup. I'm living in that world, you know, with the Growth Factory and with the other investing I've been doing over the last several years, really kind of at that pre-seed stage, seed stage. Maybe I'm one of the first checks in, if not the first. And so one of the things we look to do is get them enough traction so that they can attract venture capital. So as I look out at the landscape of venture capital, as an asset class, it's exploding, right? In the U.S. last year, it was up well over the year before. This year, I think it's on pace to close to double. I think we had $64 billion in the first quarter alone, and more than that in the second quarter. The second half of the year still looks really frothy for this growing asset class. Why is venture capital exploding like this?
I think it's back to the discussion that we were having earlier today, and that's, I think the world sees there's been an acceleration of the innovation curve in a variety of industry sectors. And so whether you look at government or you look at education or whether you look at finance or some of the things that are happening in the security area or you look at digital health, there are dramatic accelerations in those innovation curves. So it's a great time to build a new company. And I think that the world recognizes that, hey, this is an investment return opportunity. If you look historically, after any major sort of crisis, financial crisis or other crisis in the world, what happens is effectively entrepreneurs invent. They find ways to solve problems and they recognize changing times. And effectively what they do is they start looking for capital and the investors say, wow, I can invest at a relatively reasonable valuation. And this looks like an extraordinary market opportunity that has just presented itself. And so we talked about, you know, food delivery and online education and Zoom calls. Those are all, I mean, you look at the companies in that space there, it's unbelievable. Some of the things that are happening in the digital currency space. I happen to be a fan of some of the things that are happening in the security space, data security. There's an area that's deep tech, so I won't go too deep because I don't want to get over my own head, but it's called fully homomorphic encryption. And the idea is that you have healthcare information, Mark, I have healthcare information. We might not want to reveal that to the world, but if we could basically provide it in encrypted form where it could be processed in aggregate along with hundreds of millions of other people, then maybe we can ward off a worldwide pandemic, right? You might not be willing to, I know you drive pretty fast at times, you might not be
Jack,
willing to.
Jack, I can't get into that on the air.
you might not be willing to reveal your driving habits to your insurance company, but in encrypted form, if you and I, fast drivers out there, were willing to supply that along with what we do for safety and all that stuff, and there was tracking elements of what we were doing when we're behind the wheel, along with hundreds of millions of others, maybe we could save tens of thousands of lives in car accidents, right? Just by looking at, in a sense, what's happening at different intersections and those kinds of things. The point is that there's security out there, data security, that's becoming more and more important, and keeping it encrypted and being able to process it and aggregate, I think, is an interesting area. So to kind of recap, I guess, when I look at security, that's an area that I think is really interesting, and it happens to be an area that Cornami's leading the way in. When I look at how we're interacting with computers, I think pitch has an interesting role in changing the way in which humans interact with computers. When I look at TaskHuman, this company that I was mentioning that is connecting sort of coaches with consumers and allowing people to get real-time access to digital health, mental health support and stress management, nutrition, fitness, those kinds of things all remotely. To me, that's 1,000 coaches in your pocket, right? That just seems like a natural way that we should proceed, real-time access. So those are the areas of innovation that I get excited about.
Do you think more people, I get the question pretty commonly about, Mark, how do I get into angel investing? People are maybe having some success in their business and want to figure out a way to diversify their portfolio, maybe take a little, people have money in their house and they have their money in real estate often and in their own business. And, but there's this asset class out there, venture capital, that people sort of, it's been kind of a mystery to a lot of people because, you guys only take on accredited investors. And it just seems to me that in the stuff that you're investing into, it's more risky. Am I right?
It is.
It's more risky than, on average, than putting the money in the S&P 500.
Definitely more risky. And that's why we have to do extraordinary due diligence on the market, the technology, the team, the financial, and even after all that deep due diligence, sometimes weeks and weeks of effort on an individual company, even though we look at 3,000 investment opportunities each year, you have to dive deep into those that you're really going to put money behind. And then you got to figure out ways to add value after you invest. But I think there's this diversification element. If you're going to invest in seed and early stage companies, you got to invest in about 20 of them, because the failure rate, maybe 6 or 8 are just going to be complete. They're going to completely fail. Maybe a few of those are going to be singles and doubles, and then just a few could be, 10, 20x returns. And so that's what, building out that diversified portfolio, I think shapes and reduces the risk to some degree. But it's definitely, if you're looking at a high return asset class, it's definitely you're going to have to take on more risk than, say, a real estate investment.
Well, you bet. Yeah. Invest, if you're going to invest individually, invest into a lot of companies or go into a few funds. But just thinking about the psyche of the investor, this is interesting to me that people, it's this asset class that people are wanting to get into. I feel like this is maybe, I'm forming this in the way of a question, because it feels like speculation is a lot more speculative type investments. You see what's happening with the meme stocks and in other areas. People are just looking for, and even in cryptocurrency, people are looking for stuff that's a little more speculative, a little more high growth. It's riskier. We all know it, but we want to play in that space. A lot of people do.
I think it's. I think there's a growing level of interest and an appetite for investing, and I think many angel investors, to your point, have created a fair amount of wealth, and now are trying to figure out how they. It's exciting. Getting involved in these innovations of tomorrow and generating a return is kind of a fun way to manage a portion of a small portion of your portfolio. The question is, how do you do it in a thoughtful way? And I think if you're an angel investor, you're not in the business of evaluating market size or looking at intellectual property of the technology. You're doing reference checks on a VP of sales and the CEO and really saying, hey, can this team scale? Or understanding the financial elements of a business and the capital requirements required to get to cash flow positive. All that overlaid with a competitive landscape of what other companies have been funded. So what I see, the mistakes that I see some angel investors make, they have a friend, they have a neighbor, they have somebody that went to the college that they went to, they have some relevant sort of affiliation, and they're like, in effect, invest, but it's really almost a donation to this person because I believe in them. And if it works out, great, you know. And if it doesn't, no big deal because I wanted to be supportive of that person anyway. I think once you get over that, and some of those may win, and many of those will lose, right? But once you get over, wait a minute, I need to take a more thoughtful approach. I'm managing my own money. This isn't a donation. This isn't a philanthropic effort. This is about maximizing the investment returns. I think you have to start thinking about, well, I'm not the exclusive capital source for this company. They require $5 million or $10 million to get to cash flow positive. I am, you know, $100,000 or I'm $250,000. I'm a drop in the bucket. How can I align myself with other capital sources to ensure when I invest, this company gets the subsequent rounds of financing that it needs to get to cash flow positive? And so what I see in undercapitalized geographies across the United States is angel investors trying to do the right thing, trying to help the entrepreneurial community grow, but not thinking about the next round of financing or the subsequent round of financing. And the key, I think, to success is alignment with who can lead the Series A, who can lead the Series B. And I can certainly look back at my own professional career, and the best deals, the biggest exits that I've been involved with are those that have secured a highly credible lead investor for the Series A or Series B, and that took the company all the way to cash flow positive. Now there was a chance to get to a big exit, right?
For sure. Yeah. And I think it's interesting. You think about where Sacramento stacks up. We have venture capitalists like yourself becoming stronger. The startup ecosystem is, we've got a few success stories now under our belt, a few more, I should say. We had some, but a lot of pioneers have paved the way for us to get where we are today. And it's interesting because now this asset class is blowing up. And so where does the Sacramento ecosystem sit? And from my vantage point, we need, if there's that much venture capital out there in the world, you know, $64 billion, you know, last year, I think there was $140 billion in the U.S. Sacramento got like $250 million, right? We got less than a percent, less than half of a percent. And it's like, okay, why, right? Why is that? Part of that is the strength of attracting lead investors. And then part of that is just not having enough investable companies yet. Because if there's that much money out there looking for such few deals, what you really need to have is great companies. And that's kind of what we're working on with the Growth Factory, is trying to solve that gap in the market that we see is, we need more shots on goal. We need more investable companies to get that, those early stage, or excuse me, you know, first couple rounds of money, friends and family, maybe pre-seed, and then some traction so that they're very attractive. I mean, a good example of that is happening with one of our portfolio companies, Grin, software platform for influencer marketers. And they grew it here in Sacramento with some, you know, some guys like me investing into it, and get the traction, and they can attract the Bay Area money comes in. They're now, their valuation's gone through the roof, and you know, they've got tens of millions in invested capital into the company. Now they can go to that next level.
Yeah, what you're saying makes great sense to me, and the strategy that you personally and professionally have deployed in the Sacramento market resonates with me. It's a combination of seed capital and mentorship, and those two things can have an outsized impact on an entrepreneur, right? And so what you're doing with the Growth Factory and with your own personal investments makes great sense to me. I think there's some great things that are happening with the Carlson Center and some of the mentorship they're providing there. You may know I've taken on the chair role at the EO Accelerator,
yes.
So that's another sort of mentoring program. What I see now is sort of the successful CEOs in this region, some that are involved with EO like you and I are, and beyond, are now reaching back to the next generation and saying, how can we mentor this group to effectively elevate its company to the next level? How can we provide that sort of mentorship? And I think what ends up happening is the caliber in the industry, in the investment industry, we call it deal flow. You know, what does the caliber of the deal flow look like in Sacramento? And I think 5 years from now, 5 years ago, it was not very good, right? It was always kind of a half-baked seed stage company. They don't have any intellectual property. The team has no venture-backed experience. They're focused on a market size that's 150 million or 250 million instead of a $1 billion market. They don't understand their competitors. They have no customers. You know, are they really going to get any funding? Now, when you look, I mean, there's groups with the Growth Factory and with some of the other mentoring programs and Startup SAC, and there's just some infrastructure that's being created here. What we're trying to do with EO and the EO Accelerator, all of that infrastructure is set up to take these entrepreneurs and put them in a position where they're more sophisticated when they size their market. They're more sophisticated when they look at their IP strategy. They're more sophisticated. If you don't have venture-backed experience on your management team, start building your board of directors with people who have, you know, achieved big exits or have been in venture-backed deals, right? Figure out ways to mature every element of your business and then really understand the financial aspects. How much capital do you really need to get to that next milestone? And you put that story together and you do it with one entrepreneur, then you do it with 10 entrepreneurs, then you do it with 1,000 entrepreneurs, and we're going to have a lot more fundable companies in this region.
It is coming. The Growth Factory, for those of you that don't know, we're launching the Growth Factory, which is a venture fund and an accelerator, nonprofit accelerator. And I want to talk just a little bit about the term accelerator. You're working on an accelerator. I'm working on an accelerator. They're very different, but I think they're very complementary. And you mentioned mentorship. Talk about who's right for the EO accelerator? Who's right for the Growth Factory accelerator?
Yeah, I view this as a stage definition. So if you're at the seed and early stage and you've come up with an interesting idea and you have a prototype and now you've identified a big market and you just need sort of some help getting connected, you need a valuable sounding board, you need some initial capital, it seems like you're right in the wheelhouse of the Growth Factory. The Growth Factory is going to take you from zero to hero
You know this. We have over 60 very, very, very good mentors lined up, and we're on our way to 100 is sort of the initial goal. So yeah, it's not just the strength, it's the depth of our mentorship team. And so I'm super excited about that, led by actually DJ Stefan, who was the co-founder of SkySlope. He's an entrepreneurial guy. And I know he's also helping you with the Entrepreneurs Organization Accelerator too, but it's different. What's the difference?
So the difference is the EO Accelerator effectively is focused on companies that are a bit farther along. So they've achieved $250,000 of revenue. So they have found, they've completed a product, they have product market fit, and are now looking to scale to $1 million in revenue or more. And so what we've done is I think there's 70 EO CEOs now as part of that membership group. And all of those CEOs have businesses that they're running that have raised $5 million or more, or have $1 million in revenues or more, and in some cases have substantially more than $1 million in revenues, right? That group's pretty elite in this ecosystem. I would argue that EO is sort of playing this leadership role for entrepreneurship in Sacramento as kind of an organization. If you're an accomplished CEO and you're outside of EO right now, you need to get inside because there's just too many smart people and fun things that happen. But that group is being used to take these accelerator companies, and there's only going to be 10 that will be selected for the EO accelerator. And we're going to take these companies from $250,000 in revenue to more than $1 million in revenue. That's the objective, is really to sort of scale the revenues at these companies and help them attract the capital and use the network of relationships of existing EO members to kind of coach them. And what's interesting is EO Global has these four learning modules that I absolutely want to collaborate with you on, Mark. We talked about this briefly, but there's one that's focused on strategy and execution and people and cash. So they have these like globally proven programs that have helped these companies scale from $250,000 in revenue to more than $1 million. And they're coming to Sacramento. And we are hosting, the EO Accelerator is hosting each of those four modules for these 10 companies. So can you imagine you're one of these 10 companies and now you're not only getting sort of what I would consider high caliber mentorship from 70 CEOs in the Sacramento marketplace, but you're also getting this globally proven program coming to our geography to effectively train you up on strategy, on execution, on cash, on people.
It's an incredible opportunity. And the Entrepreneurs Organization, the first time I met you was through the Entrepreneurs Organization and we became friends, and I've learned a lot from you. But it's an interesting organization because people aren't walking around like know-it-alls, but you learn in the most interesting ways just from being around very successful people. It sort of rubs off on you and makes you think, in many cases, it makes you think bigger, but it makes you think differently because you get these different perspectives. It's been highly valuable for me, and I know that stories of people in my EO forum are, I'm batting 1,000 on people that just love EO in my forum.
We are too, and I think the difference that I've seen in other organizations and other interactions with people as compared to EO members is you're not getting advice from EO members. it's always experience sharing.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's not like they're guiding you and saying you should do this or you should do that, or you're crazy not to do this, or you're crazy not to do that. They're basically saying, when I was in a situation similar to what you're going through now, here's what I did and here's what happened. And I think that candid, authentic, transparent experience sharing with the end result of what happened gives you this sort of real-time focus group, right? You're sort of, whether it's personal, whether it's family, whether it's business, you're going into a room with these monthly forums and you're interacting with what I call my advisory board for life. I'm saying, hey guys, I'm having these debates with my son who I want to be independent, but I want him to have sort of guardrails on life. So, have you gone through this? Oh well, when my son was that age, yeah, we went through it 1,000 times. That experience, I think, really helps to clarify your thinking and enhance your perspective on life. And that's why I sort of refer to it as my advisory board for life, because they certainly add value in the business world, but it's also shaping my perspective as a father, shaping my perspective as a man, as a community leader, as an investor. It's really an interesting dynamic.
It is. Well, the Entrepreneurs Organization, the EO Accelerator, taking companies that are 250,000 in revenue and more, but without one other way I might contrast the growth factory, we might be investing into slightly smaller companies, but we're throwing in capital as well. And so it ends up becoming a pathway to attracting more venture capital. In the Entrepreneurs Organization, that's not necessarily the goal. The goal is to scale. It is to grow and have a growth mindset, get to 1 million+, but it's not necessarily to become venture-backed. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's not always, not all of them are going to be venture-backed companies. And I would also say that there's a time element. Most accelerator programs are kind of a 90-day window, maybe a 4-month window of training and mentoring, and then maybe a demo day at the end to showcase them to an audience of potential investors. The EO Accelerator is really a year-long program that oftentimes gets extended into 2 or 3 years. So it's a longer time horizon with monthly forums and then these quarterly learning days. So it's going to happen. So you're kind of making a long-time commitment to anybody you select for the program. So we're going to go through quite a filtering process to get to the 10 companies that we really think are 10 of the top companies in the Sacramento area. But yeah, some of them will be venture-backed, and some of them, to your point, might grow organically and get to cash flow positive on their own through sales.
Yeah. Yeah. Exciting stuff. And I think it's great for when your neighbor succeeds, it's good for the neighborhood. That's the way I look at it. So it's like, if we can help the entrepreneurial community succeed, it's just great for impacting our region, for our kids and my grandkids.
This email one night. I think it might've been like late on a Friday night to you and Dale Carlson. And I was thinking, for some reason, I was having this dream of what would be the perfect scenario in the Sacramento ecosystem. And I think I wrote you an email. I said, they start at the growth factory. They get a little bit of capital, a little bit of wisdom, right? They yes. get mentored along. Maybe it's an engineer.
It's a Sac State grad too,
State
right?
Grad.
Okay, Sac State grad for Dale.
Right, exactly. Spins into the growth factory, comes into the, the EO accelerator.
Yes.
Effectively then goes to revenues, profits, and then a ticker symbol when
yes.
we ring the bell.
And Impact
right?
gets to invest along the way somewhere,
we'll invest,
right?
Well, yeah, we'll invest there. We'll bring in Mineta and DCA. And,
oh, sweet.
And we'll get the whole group together to invest in the later rounds. We'll bring in some corporate venture groups, get SoftBank and others to sort of pile on top.
And then we all go to the New York Stock Exchange, hang out, not Zoom calls, right? We get there
we
in
get
person.
There. Ring the bell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I thought I was the dreamer in Sacramento. looks like you may have outdone me there, Jack. Okay, so you have been working on something for the last several years, and not just working on it. You've been gracious enough to ask me to be involved at some level. Is a big summit, the Impact Venture Summit. It's been an enormous thing for the region. It's been at Golden One, and you're doing it again this year, but things have changed a little bit. Talk to us about it's growing, of what I've heard.
It's so this is the 4th annual Impact Global Venture Summit on October 7th at the brand new convention center in Sacramento.
Nice.
So we're really excited about it. In 2019, as you may recall, we had 1,100 attendees, a huge number of investors, corporate investors, entrepreneurs, even students and policymakers, all in one room. And sort of, in your words, there was a lot of banging going on, right?
A lot
of banging, right? And you were helpful. You had your media center there. We had you. You were interviewing people all day long, showcasing some of the great entrepreneurs from California, interacting with some of the world class investors. So it was great to have you a part of it, and we're thrilled that you guys are coming back again this year. Registrations, surprisingly, are ahead now of where they were at this point in time in 2019. And so we're surprised. I guess everybody's been, they're tired of being locked up and they're voting with their feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're voting with their feet. So we've got our keynotes lined up. We've got our panels lined up. In addition to keynotes, like, I mentioned Jan Geldmacher, a former operating partner at SoftBank, former president at Sprint all the way through the $20 billion acquisition, merger with T-Mobile. He's coming to give a keynote. We have actually, I'm thrilled to include Kate Renwick Espinoza, the president at VSP. They do, I think, $5 billion in revenue and 80 million.
They're here.
80 million members. They're just right here, right here in our backyard, right? She's just incredibly impressive. And then we have Ken Coleman, who's an advisor for Pinterest, you know, $45 billion visual design engine there. So we're excited about the keynote. But in addition to the keynotes, there's three stages. I think there's 10 panels of speakers on innovation, investing, and society. And so innovation are things like everything from high-performance computing and security to robotics to virtual reality to these kinds of things. Investing is corporate investors, venture, angel investors, family offices, other fund of funds, anybody in the investment food chain. So we have a number of tracks, panels in that area. And then society are things like, you know, what does the future of work look like? Are we all going to work from home forever? Are we coming back to the office? What does that look like? What is it, a hybrid model? We've got some things on diversity and inclusion. Obviously, we've got this incredible amount of entrepreneurial talent in the form of women and minorities that's been sort of riding on the bench. We need to bring them into the game, figure out ways to effectively have a more diverse and inclusive entrepreneurial community and investment community, candidly. So those are the three tracks. And then we have these things called programs, just to finish. We have a speed dating for entrepreneurs and angel investors in what we call epic office hours. We have a student innovation challenge, and so that's we have, you know, SMUD involved and EY involved and some of these other groups that have been historical great partners funding these programs to catalyze the next wave of innovation. And then a VIP networking event at the end, where we're going to showcase and recognize some of the most successful entrepreneurs and the big exits that they've gotten to. So it should be a great day, and I'm anticipating more than 1,000 people. We'll see how it turns out, but it is bringing Sacramento into the technology triangle between San Francisco, San Jose, and the Sacramento area, as opposed to breaking apart from what I think is the most interesting innovation geography in the world. We're including all of those people in our event, and including Sacramento in that innovation ecosystem. But we're also including some world-class investors and entrepreneurs from across the country. So it should be a heck. You can tell I'm a bit excited about it.
I'm excited about it too. So I'm just picturing this. I'm going to be inspired without question, because I'm going to be listening to real success stories. I'm going to be educated because I'm talking to people who have been there, done that. But I think the part that you said, speed dating. So who am I going to meet? Who can I press the... Because a lot of times we're looking for our next business partner, or maybe we're looking for a mentor, or really looking for a real connection beyond some information, beyond some inspiration. I want to meet people. Am I going to be able to... the speed dating, is this one-on-one type speed dating? How might I really get to meet people? And am I going to have to wear a mask? How standoffish are we going to be toward each other?
Yeah, so let me comment on a couple of things. The Epic Office Hours of Speed Dating, you need to sign up for it if you're an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And so we have a flurry of angel investors, corporate investors, and other VCs that are there and excited to meet companies. And what we try and do is matchmaking by industry sector and by stage, so that you're meeting with the most relevant people. So you have to sign up for that. So that's how Epic Office Hours works. The other thing I'd say from the standpoint of making connections, this will be the largest number of investors in one place in Sacramento business history. There's no doubt about it. This will be the largest amount of corporate investors, angel investors, VCs that Sacramento has ever had in one place at one event, right? I mean, that's the whole thesis, is capital formation. There are certainly capital sources across the country, and they attend Silicon Valley events all the time. This is a Silicon Valley event that's being hosted in Sacramento.
This right. is the one.
Yeah. This is a significant opportunity for Sacramento to elevate its profile and to showcase some of the best companies that are here to a wide audience of investors. All of our investors in our fund are coming. We're going to have tens of corporate investors that will be there. There will be VCs there. Certainly, there may be 50 or 100 angels there. I don't know that Sacramento has ever held an event with this many capital sources. Let me just finish on your final point. We are going to follow all of the state, county, and city recommendations with regard to masking. We recognize that there's some people that are vaccinated. We recognize there's some people that effectively have the antibodies, and we recognize that some people are going to want to wear a mask the entire time. We're going to follow
whatever the rules are. When is it? So is when? What's the date of the event?
It's October 7th.
Okay,
and it's an all-day event. And so this is an extraordinary opportunity. Yes, to get inspired. Yes, to get educated. But most importantly, to get connected with capital sources. That's what this event is doing, like no other event I think in Sacramento has done. And it's mobilizing capital sources from across the country, capital sources that are not exclusive to Silicon Valley. They're not, these corporate investors will invest anywhere. These angel investors will invest anywhere. These VCs are looking for seed and early stage companies in other geographies. Let me be clear, the event is also not limited to just Sacramento entrepreneurs. There are entrepreneurs that are coming from the Western United States to showcase their companies. We're clearly going to roll out the red carpet for anybody in Sacramento and try and showcase their companies. I mean, there's people like Chuck Hansen's got a really interesting company, and I'm excited to include his company here in Sacramento. There's some others that are, I think, working on some interesting innovations. And so we'll showcase what's going on here in Sacramento, but we're going to be inclusive of investors and entrepreneurs from other regions.
So exciting. So if somebody wants to go, they go to your website. What's your website?
It's impactvc.com. You'll see the summit listed there. Yeah. There's also Impact Global Venture Summit .com. But if you punch it up, it's going to come up in a number of ways in Google. Just the Impact Global Venture Summit is the brand of the event.
And I really want to encourage anybody listening that is, you could be somebody who is an entrepreneur today, somebody who's maybe on a team that is inspiring you to think about entrepreneurship, and but if you have just this the thing inside you that says, you know, I want something more, this is the type of place where you can go and realize what more might look like, right? What does more look like? And it looks like people blowing up really significant companies and really changing the world in a positive way. So I would, as somebody who will be there, come hang out with me for sure. Come meet Jack, let's be inspired together. That's kind of how I look at it. So, okay, so I want to make sure that we give you a chance to cover anything else that you want to cover and closing thoughts. So we'll put that aside for last. But I learned from you so many times. I remember one time you were talking about what book had inspired you recently, and you recommended a book called Essentialism, right? The Disciplined Art of Doing Less, because to keep you focused, right? Not to be a lazy bum, but how to be more effective and sometimes doing less is really the key. That book, I probably listened to it on Audible 10 times minimum, because I don't know that I agreed with everything in it, but certain pieces of it really hit home for me. So I want you to give me another hack or another book. Make me better, Jack. Help me improve.
Well, since my book isn't done yet, I'm on chapter 11 of writing a book that is focused on strategic planning for life. And so you'll get a first copy of that.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about just sort of sharing some experiences on things that I feel like I've done right, things that I've done wrong, things that I've learned from other people about sort of applying business practices to living life. But there is a book, Greg McKeown, who wrote Essentialism, mm-hmm. came out with a book called Effortless. And it's a pretty interesting book. It talks about automating certain things in life that you want to make sure happen on a recurring basis. If I want to connect with my friend Mark on a regular basis, I can just call him every once in a while, or I can send you a calendar invite saying, hey, I want to schedule 30 minutes once a quarter, and now it's on my calendar and just sort of happens automatically. You and I will see that calendar invite. If I want to make sure that I, go for a run in the morning, maybe I just put my habit is putting running shoes right next to my bed, so when I walk out of bed, I have to walk right into my running shoes and right out the door for a run. He talks about a variety of things with your kids, with your family, with your business that you can put on sort of autopilot. And then he says, let's take a look at those things that are on autopilot that don't make sense. that
your bad habits.
Your bad habits. Okay. So
I don't have to face those.
how many subscriptions do we have that we haven't canceled? Another month goes by, and you know, sort of how many things are we doing where we're just really not paying attention? You know, something that maybe would take 5 minutes to fix might save hours later, but no one has actually quantified it for us. So we just sort of, you know, keep doing what we're doing out of inertia. So anyway, this book sort of has you think about things in a new way. So anyway, that's maybe the new book that
Effortless. Greg McKeown, is that his name? Yeah. He's also the author of the Essentialism book that you mentioned earlier. Okay, so there's a book. Is there another hack? Sounds like keeping your shoes next to the bed is a good hack.
Well, I guess the other thing that this is more at the 40,000 foot level as opposed to any individual tactic. So maybe this is more helpful. I've looked at the Entrepreneur's Operating System.
Yeah, EOS.
EOS. And I've said, you know, wait a minute, this applies to life. Wait a minute, maybe I should start using this to establish sort of quarterly objectives for life. And maybe I should start to track my progress toward those quarterly objectives in line with those annual goals, in line with my 3-year plan. Maybe if I start stacking these up in a systematic way, it might be as simple as a spreadsheet that allows me to take something I want to happen 3 years from now and chip away on a quarterly basis, on a weekly basis to achieve or optimize the opportunity.
Would you do that for your personal life, or would you, because the EOS, for those of you who don't know this, Entrepreneur's Operating System, it's a little bit of how to organize your business with a vision and goals and, you know, meetings that are very productive and so on, called level 10 meetings. Would you take the entire thing and put it on the family, or is this more for Jack or for Mark?
I have applied it to my life. So okay. I have looked at how does it relate to my level of fitness? What am I really trying to achieve? I've looked at it. How does it apply to my family? How does it apply to my finances? How does it apply to my friends? How fun, you know, what are the things that I'm looking to do?
Just be organized about having fun.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I think sometimes time goes by and you miss out on the adventure of life, right? You know, sort of like, wow, you know, I always wanted to do this. Why haven't I done that? And why has 6 months or a year gone by and I haven't addressed that? If it's on the to-do list, it's likely going to get some attention. And so the question is, if you kind of organize your thoughts in that way, for me, it provides compartments for ideas. You know, sort of you can start to capture a certain set of ideas in the fitness area just by establishing maybe I have a body fit goal, or maybe I want to live to 100 goal. Okay, well, how am I going to get there? What do I need to do in the near term? What kind of routines do I need to establish? And you can kind of, all right, what do I want my marriage to look like? You know, is it, okay, if I love these things, what would I improve? What am I going to do this quarter to establish some adventure dates for me and my wife? You know, one of the EO friends that I have mentioned that he decided he was going to design epic dates for he and his wife. I thought that was such a cool idea.
Yeah.
The point is that oftentimes we have these ideas, but they float in and out of our head without making
my wife would be shocked if I set up an epic date. Epic date for me is let's go over to Bennett's restaurant and you know, have what I always get over there, which I love. That's epic to me, but I don't know, you know, and I know she loves Bennett's, but I'm a Joe routine, you know, I'm Mr. Routine. I think she would probably like something epic. Hopefully she's not listening to this podcast. She's going to expect something.
You're going to have to do something big. You're going to have to over deliver in the fourth quarter for sure.
Awkward. Okay. So another great hack. And just as we sort of, you know, we've been talking venture capital, we've been talking about the entrepreneurial ecosystem, we've been talking about startups and early stage companies. It's our world. We love it. Speak to that community. Maybe with some closing thoughts or any other ideas that you want to make sure we discuss today.
Well, we're 5 weeks away from this event. So, of course, you know, a lot of my thoughts are centered around the summit. And I really feel like, in a way, you and I and others and the Sacramento community are playing a leadership role by hosting a 1,000-person event. Right? We're saying it's time to get back.
Well, you're doing it. I'm just showing up. Okay. Let's make sure. I'm promoting it on the show, and I'm going to be there. So anyway, it's your leadership, Jack. I want to make sure that that's understood. Hey, yeah, everybody's putting on an event. No, Jack took a risk. It's not cheap to do a big event at Golden One or at the anywhere else. And there's a lot of headaches, and it can take you out of your game in a way, but you're doing it for the good of this community.
Yeah, my team, I mean, I've got just some great, you know, partners that I work with, Eric Ball and Aaron Anderson and Pat Bumpus, and then a whole army of venture partners that they collaborate on the event. So certainly I have a fair amount of influence over the vision, but these guys sort of take that vision and turn it into reality. And I think year over year, what we're finding is that we're starting to dial in the efficiency of connecting people who are relevant to each other. And I think that's what this event does. So I'm excited. I mean, if you're looking for technology, you're going to see an omnidirectional treadmill with VR. You're going to see
out of Rockland, right?
Raised out of Rockland. That's right. You're going to see a robotics tractor that picks strawberries. There's some really interesting, innovative companies that'll be doing on-floor product demonstrations that will be interesting. I think the panels will be educational. I think that you'll walk away with an enhanced perspective, hopefully on both business and life. I think that the level of connections will be second to none. It's one thing for us as Sacramentans to regularly host events where we get together and talk about what's going on in the community. It's very different when we're welcoming the outside world to our community. And I think that's what I'm excited about, is to reshape capital formation in Sacramento by bringing a large audience of investors to see the interesting entrepreneurs that are that are building great companies here and that are contributing to part of kind of the Northern California entrepreneurial ecosystem, right? You know, really on a larger scale. So that's we're in busy season right now, right? With this summit coming up. But yeah, if there's one message that I was going to leave you with is this: if you've got time and you've got ideas, or you're thinking about innovations, you're thinking about investing, you're thinking about starting a company, or you just want to learn more about entrepreneurship, I think this may be the event of the year.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jack. And there's one group of people I want to make sure that I'm not negligent in calling out, and that's the folks that have moved here from the Bay Area that may work for Google or Facebook or one of these other tech companies, and they've relocated here. They're all around me. My neighbors now are heavily from the Bay Area or elsewhere, and they want to know, does Sacramento have an entrepreneurial ecosystem? Do we have a startup community? Do we have venture capital? How do I get plugged in as a mentor or in other ways? And I think the summit is probably a great place to show up, shake a few hands, fist bump, whatever you're doing, and let's figure out how we can help this community, this startup community, and the venture capital, get folks the venture capital that they need, get those connections, take the friction out of some of those relationships right there at the Impact Global Venture Summit. So thank you, Jack, for sharing your story. And what day is it again? I'm sorry?
October 7th.
October 7th.
Yep.
Okay. Be there. And again, thank you for everything. Thanks for your friendship.
Mark, one last thing. I just really appreciate the foundational elements of entrepreneurship that you're building. I think you're being very thoughtful about not only the infrastructure that you're creating in this community with your show and with the Growth Factory and with the facility that you have here and the other outreach that you do in the community, but I genuinely believe that you're sort of establishing a foundation that we can all build other pieces on top of. And so you're kind of elevating all of our game, and I just really appreciate your efforts.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you very much. And I always thought you've always been my favorite venture capitalist in town. So no, seriously, I do appreciate the comment. Coming from you, that means a lot, because you're... it just means a lot. Thank you. Appreciate it. Great show today. And I think really we talked about the entrepreneurial ecosystem, and the Impact Global Venture Summit that's right around the corner is really something that we need to be thinking about putting on our calendar. But really, any event that gets you off the couch, out there, one of the things I like to say is you got to show up. And one of the things that's helpful is showing up outside your comfort zone. So I really, really encourage you to break away from the office, get out there and get to some events, put your mask on, get yourself vaccinated, get out there and start engaging again. And I'm going to be at the Impact Global Venture Summit, as we discussed today, and really going to be out there to try to get entrepreneurs in the game, help them get what they need to achieve their goals. So for all of you out there fighting a good fight for entrepreneurship, for our security, for our way of life, to the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to that one big American dream that's always for fighting for yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side. Say. This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.